Good morning, George Henry here, and we have a new update regularly on Tuesday mornings now at 8:30. We're going to be visiting with medical professionals at Peace Harbor Hospital. Today on the line with me, I have Dr. Scheer. He's the medical director over Peace Harbor, and Dr. William Foster. He's the ED director. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
So let's start off with kind of give us an idea of what's happening in the hospital to keep staff safe. I want to start there first, and then we can branch on out to where we're going from there. I know it's a very important thing, so you got to keep healthy in order to keep seeing people. So what are you guys doing there?
Well, at first line, we're emphasizing hand washing, which we always try to do, but it's certainly more important now. We're doing temperature screening of employees when they show up to make sure they don't have temperatures. And then protective equipment wherever it seems there's a risk for them. We've also cut down elective surgeries and other things that can be put off during this time period, so we're having as few people come to the hospital as possible. And anything else, Willie?
No, I mean, other than, you know, it's very important to keep, as you say, our health care providers healthy, and at this point we do have a good supply of, you know, the protective equipment that people hear so much about, goggles, gloves, gowns, and we are trying to use those in the most appropriate, you know, fashion to, you know, keep us safe, but also conserve those because we're not sure how long we're going to need to use this stuff for.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about preparations too. Some comments were made the other day that we are not prepared, and you know, I know a little bit about what's going on at the hospital. I know you guys have been working on this for quite some time. What, how have you guys been preparing for the potential of a COVID pandemic in our area?
Well, you know, on a daily basis, we are planning and we are preparing, and that's been going on for at least several weeks now. That involves everybody. Every department at the hospital is not just physicians. It's the nurses, it's administration, it's, you know, maintenance and grounds, it's x-ray lab, pharmacy, registration, food services, very importantly, our environmental services, our janitors, our cleaning people. Everybody is involved about what do we need to be doing to be best prepared. So constantly developing, you know, new plans, new policies to, you know, be prepared. And one of the things that makes this, I wouldn't say difficult, but a challenge is every day there are different recommendations, you know, from the CDC, from the Department of Health, from, you know, Peace Health as a system. So taking that information and saying, how can we make that work best here?
Yeah, it's hard. It's a moving target because we could have 100 patients, we could have 1,000 patients, and it'll be different depending on how many we have. We probably have, I don't know, you have probably four to five hours of meetings a day discussing this and planning for it. I just got through with one where we're meeting with one of the extended care facilities and how we will deal with them and how they will, how we can help them and they can help us. We need to be reaching out more to their community centers and figuring how we can get out in the community and help there as well. So those are things that we have a little bit of time to get in place, but we have to move pretty quickly.
Now, what is the current capacity of the hospital to handle this? How many beds? I know, I believe the surgery department is converting some of their spaces in order to allow for more beds. How many people could we handle if this became a big thing?
Well, currently the hospital, I think, is licensed for 21 inpatient beds. We are in the process of having that moved up to 35 patients, and we are preparing several areas of the hospital. One area would be part of the inpatient ward where we keep patients that we suspect have COVID. We are waiting for a test to come back. Up until now, testing has taken several days to get a result back. Hopefully by the end of the week, that turnaround time will come down to 24 hours. So part of the hospital will be where we're keeping patients that are sick enough to have to be in the hospital that we suspect might have COVID and we're waiting for results. The second part of that plan is once we start getting positive tests back on people that are hospitalized, we will open up another area of the hospital that is basically the pre-op and post-op surgery area where we will be keeping all patients that are actually positive in that very, you know, quite isolated area.
Positive but ill.
Positive but ill, yes.
The ones that are positive that are not ill, they're going to need to stay at home in isolation, and we have plans that it'll be really important that we remain in close contact with them to see how they're doing.
Right, I was going to ask that because the majority of cases of people that are ill are going to be within a certain category of folks, elderly people with pre-existing medical conditions and things like that. So basically healthy people are better off at home quarantined from other people.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah.
And even those people with risk factors, they are even more important to be better off at home quarantined from other people unless they become sick enough that they need to be actually hospitalized.
Right. And now, what about the triage unit you guys have set up in the front of the hospital there?
Well, everybody asks about that because that trailer is very obvious there.
Yeah.
We will be using it in some capacity to triage patients. Hopefully, in the next few days, we're going to be standing up a process to the extent that we can to separate patients that have respiratory issues, fever, cough, etc., from patients that don't. And this is for anybody, you know, entering the hospital, the ED, you know, it's even in effect here in the clinics, trying to have people that have respiratory symptoms, fever, cough, who we think might have COVID, we don't know because we can't test on the spur of the moment, and keep them as much as possible in separate areas from people that are coming here for other things, for abdominal pain, for an injury. That's happening in the ED and it's happening in the clinics, and we're stepping up that process in the next few days here as we have figured out a plan to how to do that and yet make things still flow smoothly.
Now, the Oregon Health Authority last week posted their flu updates, and there were, in the state, 791 new cases, which was quite a spike from previous weeks. How do you differentiate between the symptoms when they come in?
You really can't. I mean, the symptoms of flu, true influenza, COVID, and the thousands of other viruses that can cause you to have a cough and runny nose all present pretty similar. Fever, cough, some shortness of breath, possibly runny nose, sore throat. So any patients in that category, we are trying to separate off and treat them in separate areas and protect ourselves and protect them from spreading the virus. There's really no way to know. It is quite possible that many people were seen with mild coughs, colds, runny noses, have COVID, but as is the reality in most of the country, many people with COVID are going to have very mild disease. As time progresses, we will be able to test more patients and tell them, yes, you have COVID, no, you have flu, but that is certainly a limiting factor, not only here, but throughout the country, of what kind of tests we can do and how quickly we get those results back.
Has there been any kind of risk assessment done within the community, any kind of idea of how many numbers we might be able to expect, best case, worst case scenario, with not knowing right now because of the limited amount of tests? You know, we're kind of in this space where it's like, well, we're really not affected by it, but yet it's possible that it is here.
Yeah, we're only testing the sickest people, and so we really don't know that part, and I think if we get more tests available, that will be useful. If you have 100 people, about 15% are going to get sick enough, they're probably going to be in the hospital. But that means 85 are going to be out. When they're in the hospital, there is no specific treatment for this. So there are experimental treatments that are used and supportive treatment, but the biggest thing is to prevent the spread of it so you don't get it in the first place.
Do we know how long of a run this has in an individual? Do we have any results back from saying this will run its course in X amount of days in a healthy body?
We're thinking that by 2 weeks, you should pretty much be, you know, okay and clear. If you got COVID, you had a cough, cold, runny nose, that after 2 weeks, in most cases, you would be well, feeling well again and not infectious to other people. It's probably less than that, but as a caution, most places are using a two-week kind of criteria for people that have actually tested positive with mild symptoms before you're told, hey, you're over this, you know.
And I guess it's too soon to know if there are any antibodies that are being built up through this, and so we may or may not get an immunity to it. For the future.
I mean, we will probably get some immunity to it. I mean, there's not a lot of testing yet for that to see who has had the disease, you know, as you can to check for other things. But the thinking is that this is going to be more similar to the flu. Just because you got the flu last year, that gives you some immunity, but it's not like chicken pox or measles where you get it once and you don't get it again.
Right.
The thinking with COVID is it's going to be more like the flu. Just because you got it this year doesn't mean you can't get it next year.
So it's a potential for an annual recurrence or maybe...
Right. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not, yes, hopefully not.
Hopefully not, but the virus probably acts more along the lines of the common flu than something like measles where you get it once.
Right.
But so, you know, if everyone isolated and no one contacted with anyone else for 2 weeks, we'd be done with it.
Yeah. I was going to say, in wrap-up, let's kind of hit that part of it. But what can folks do? Let's do a quick wrap-up. What can folks do right now, Dr. Scheer, to protect themselves? Obviously, we know everything that the order from Governor Brown says, but just kind of give us a common-sense approach.
Well, I think what she says is right on. Personal protection, staying away from large groups, cutting out any unnecessary travel, keep your six-foot distance from people if you can. I mean... we're doing this by phone today because of that.
Right.
The least exposure you have, the better. And then just being aware of the symptoms. Hand washing, avoiding touching your face as much as you can, because that's how it can get to get on your hands, and then it can affect you when you get it near your face and eyes. Anything else, Lily?
No. I mean, the only other thing I'd add was, you know, there's so much stuff in the news, on the internet. Not all of it is, you know, correct. And
right.
I think that is causing a lot of disinformation and panic. Peace Health has a pretty good site, along with the Oregon Health Authority. The Peace Health site is peacehealth.org/coronavirus. And that's, you know, a public site where you can go and get, you know, good information that distills what the CDC, what the Oregon Health Authority, what Peace Health is putting out there.
All right, Dr. Ronald Scheer, Dr. William Foster, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I look forward to doing this again next week, maybe with you guys, maybe with someone different. We don't know yet, but look forward to that. Thank you so much for this information. It's good to get out to the public.
Thank you, George.
Thank you very much.
And that's our Peace Harbor update for this morning. Tune in Tuesday mornings at 8:30 right here on Coast Radio.